Hello and welcome to the All Time Conspiracies podcast, which is now under its brand new moniker as voted for by you, our listeners, Stories from the Bunker.
Hey,
very good.
Nice. Excellent drum roll. Nice one. That was very good. Thank you.
As a drummer, I pride myself on drum rolls.
You are a drummer. A chicken drummer. I don't know what that means.
Is that some kind of variation of a chicken drumstick, I'm sure.
Yes, as always, today we'll be looking at an older piece in depth, a very mysterious conspiracy which Alex has prepared for us, and Martin and I will be discussing some news items of the weird and the curious variety, and Alex will be finishing with our weekly quiz.
I will. I'm really spoiling you guys this week. I've got,
you really are.
I've got the conspiracy and the quiz. And the quiz this week is just going to be like news from the past week. So I hope you've been paying attention.
Oh, no.
It's been an exciting week.
No.
There's been some stuff going on. So I'd like to...
You mean you're not going to have any maths questions like last week?
I think there is a maths question, actually.
Oh, no.
But it's related to, you know...
Mm. Some news.
Well, for like the last 4 days, I've been moving house. So I haven't really been picking up on any news at all. I'm getting my excuses in early.
I'd like to begin with Alex's story.
Okay, well, I'd like to take you both back in time to the 12th century for my story this week.
Medieval times
in the village of Woolpit in Suffolk, England.
Does it still exist as Woolpit?
It does, I think, nice. I believe.
Great name.
I haven't heard of it. That sounds great.
Cool. Woolpit.
It's kind of near Bury St. Edmunds.
Ah, yes.
Quite close to there.
Okay.
Just to the east a little bit. But I'm guessing since you said that you haven't heard of it, you won't have heard of why this particular place is quite well known in conspiracy circles. It's because of the green children of Woolpit that appeared in the 12th century. And I'll tell you about them.
Please
so do. The legend of the green children of Woolpit concerns two children of unusual skin color, green, obviously, who reportedly appeared in the village of Woolpit in Suffolk, England, sometime in the 12th century, perhaps during the reign of King Stephen. So, according to the account, the brother and sister, these two little children, were found by villagers working their fields at harvest time near some ditches that had been excavated to trap wolves.
Oh. Hence
the name, Woolpit. Woolpit, sorry. Woolpits.
There's the Woolpit.
That's where the name of the town comes
from.
I
thought it was like pits for wool from sheep. But Woolpit is much cooler.
Yeah, so they like trap wolves and... I don't know what they do with them then. Keep them as pets.
Wolves just walk into pits.
Yeah, so they decorate the pits. So you know they cover them with sticks, kind of
Swiss Family Robinson style.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm guessing that's what it is. It's not important to the story. So then the children, their skin was tinged with a green hue, their clothes were made from unfamiliar materials, and their speech was unintelligible to the villagers.
Ooh. Unfamiliar material?
Yeah, it was just kind of unusual.
Polyester.
In medieval times, it would have been cotton wool.
Yeah.
Cotton wool.
Too, right?
Yeah. Exactly. So they seem very unusual to these villagers. They don't know what to make of them.
Hmm. I don't know what to make of them.
It's a sight to behold.
Okay.
So, according to contemporary writings at the time by Ralph of Coggeshall, who have definitely butchered that name, the children were then taken to a nearby home of Sir Richard de Caen, where he offered them food, but they repeatedly refused to eat, despite appearing to be starving. So they refused to eat any kind of food that was offered to them. It continued for some days, but until the children came across some green beans in his garden, which they ate straight out the ground. They loved green beans. But yeah, apparently that's all they ate for ages. Until eventually, after several months of living with Richard de Caen, it's thought that he did manage to convert them over to normal food. And according to writings of the day, this change in diet did lead to their skin changing back to normal colour.
Oh, right. So their skin could have been
impacted from that.
I knew someone that just ate bread and peanut butter. For about 10 years.
What colour were their skin?
Yellow. That's not relevant. A yellow hue. Fine now.
So anyway, they lived with this man for several years. Apparently the boy was sickly and he died shortly after being baptised. They were both baptised.
So the moral of the story is don't eat your greens.
Don't eat your greens because you'll get sickly and die.
Did they suspect the baptism had anything to do with his death? Like he's a devil child or something?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of this theory, as you may have guessed, is that these children could have been otherworldly, extraterrestrials. Yes. So, yeah, who knows? Anything could have affected them. So maybe like getting baptized in the water could have, you know, maybe it was like signs. They were allergic to the water. I don't know.
Yeah, were they even children? Were they just little green men?
They were children. Woman? I think they looked relatively normal, apart from this green skin.
Oh, okay. Weird.
Which then faded over time. Mm. And once they had learned English, the girl was asked where they had come from. Mm. How did they just appear in the village? Where did what's their backstory?
Of course.
And she replied with the following. We are inhabitants of the land of St. Martin, who is regarded with peculiar veneration in the country which gave us
birth. Whoa, hold on a second.
Okay.
When she learned English, this is how she spoke. As soon as she learned English and spoke to this bloke.
It doesn't sound verbatim, does it? I think this is like years later when she's an adult. She went.
We are from the land.
Her brother died when he was her young and she died. Lived on to become
she
an
lived
adult.
On. She married, actually, and it's thought she had a child. So
the genes are still with us.
Exactly.
Pea green.
Alien human hybrids. But anyway, this is what she said. We are ignorant of how we arrived here. We only remember this, that on a certain day when we were feeding our father's flocks in the fields, we heard a great sound, such as we are now accustomed to hear at St. Edmund's, Bury St. Edmund's,
sure.
The church, when the bells are chiming. And whilst listening to the sound in admiration, we became on a sudden, as it were, entranced, and found ourselves among you in the fields where you were reaping. She also said, the sun does not rise upon our countrymen. Our land is little cheered by its beams. We are contented with that twilight, which among you precedes the sunrise or follows the sunset. Moreover, a certain luminous country is seen, not far distant from ours, and divided from it a very considerable river. So she lives in a land of always twilight. She heard the bells of St. Edmund's and they just kind of became entranced and then found themselves there.
Intriguing.
That's really strange.
Do you know how old they were roughly when this man found them?
I think they were very young, under 10 years of age.
Okay.
But
by our human standards, right?
Yeah.
We don't know. There's clearly something strange about these kids.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, they lived in a cave and became green from moss or something.
So they went into like a cave and emerged. They saw a light and that was when they were found by the villagers.
Stargate. That's what this is. Yeah.
Or maybe another theory, not extraterrestrial, but inside the earth they came from.
Oh.
The inner earth. That's right. The hollow earth got brought into this. So the girl was later known as Agnes, and as I mentioned earlier, she continued to work for Richard de Conne for many years and adjusted to her new life. She was apparently considered rather loose and wanton in her conduct.
Oops.
Don't know what that means.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Don't sound great.
But she apparently married the Archdeacon of Ely, Richard Barr.
That loose, surely.
Yeah. Archdeacon should be all right.
And according to one report, the pair had at least one child. So,
interesting.
Alien human hybrid.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting story. That's pretty much all the detail. But while some view the story as a folktale that describes an imaginary encounter with inhabitants of another world beneath our feet or even extraterrestrial, others accept it as real, but somewhat altered account of a historical event that merits further investigation. So there are some more details I can add to this.
Oh, yeah.
But that's basically the entire account. All we know about them.
Okay.
These green children of Woolpit. So over the centuries, many theories have been put forward to explain this strange account. Regarding their green colouring, one proposal is that the children were suffering from hypochronic anemia, also known as chlorosis. So they were just malnourished.
Huh.
Chlorosis. They had malnourishment, and that causes their skin to be an odd colour because of the red blood cells. Yeah, no, a very poor diet affects the colour of the red blood cells and can make people's skin turn green. It's kind of a weird coincidence that they both had it, though.
Yeah, I
guess. But then if they were both malnourished, it kind of makes sense.
True, the same genetic
makeup. The story describes
makeup.
Them as being looking very hungry and starving. Yeah.
And the fact that when they did return to a normal diet, their skin changed colour.
That's the real telltale one, isn't it?
Yeah.
The fact that when they were kind of naturalised into eating normal food, or at least some kind of better diet than they changed.
Well, let's go on to the theory for this strange land that they apparently inhabited. Yes.
The land of what? Saint Martin.
Land of Saint Martin. Yeah.
So, what do you know about it, Martin?
All of it, everything. But you know, just you can read it out, Alex. It's fine.
Okay. So Paul Harris suggested that the children were actually Flemish orphans. Nearby Bury St Edmunds, there is a town called Fornham St Martin.
Okay.
And that apparently had quite a few Flemish immigrants that came over. Right. And they were being persecuted under the reign of King Henry II. Yeah, so a large number of Flemish immigrants were killed near Bury St Edmunds in 1173 at the Battle of Fornham, fought between Henry II and Robert de Beaumont, the 3rd Earl of Leicester. So there's kind of... Yeah, so possibly the theory goes that their parents were killed in this battle.
Right.
And then they kind of like were forced to flee. And there was a river separating Fornham St Martin.
Oh, really? Okay.
Between there and this town. And it's so maybe that's an option.
It's interesting when she spoke about Bury St Edmunds as well, she just said St Edmunds.
Yeah.
And then before she was saying St Martin's and missing out just the Fornham.
That's a great point, actually. I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah.
So that's an option. The only thing that doesn't make sense is why she said it was always twilight.
Yeah, what was that about?
Unless they went into Thetford Forest and just lived in the forest for ages. Maybe that kind of explains it.
Depends how young she was. If she was a really young child, she might not remember anything much, before the age of 6 or something.
That's true.
Yeah, so your historical memory could be a little bit altered.
Yeah.
Especially if you're under persecution and malnourished, you're probably feeling a bit...
Yeah.
A bit
worse for wear.
What I will say, though, what doesn't make sense is the fact that Richard de Combe, who was like the person that they brought, the villagers brought the children to.
Yeah.
It's odd that he wouldn't recognize that they were Flemish. It doesn't make sense that he wouldn't recognize the language.
There's no reference to that at all.
Yeah.
I think he was like quite a smart man. And yeah, it doesn't really make sense unless he was feigning ignorance of where they came from because
they're persecuted.
Flemish immigrants at this time were being persecuted.
Yeah. Oh, so maybe
he was trying to protect them.
Oh.
Yeah,
possibly.
That's nice to think.
I
mean, Flemish is a very difficult language for non-Flemish speakers to grasp, isn't it? And I imagine English at the time wouldn't have been English as we think of it today. It would have been more like French. French and German kind of blended together. So they would not necessarily have understood Flemish at all.
But then, of course, while there's that theory, which makes quite a lot of sense. There are, of course, more romantic theories that these children came from another world or an inner world.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Yeah. So Robert Burton suggested in his 1621 book, The Anatomy of Melancholy, that the green children fell from heaven. And others speculated that they could have been extraterrestrials. So in a 1996 article published in the magazine Analog, astronomer Duncan Lunan, who I think we've talked about
before,
he's definitely come up.
Yeah.
He hypothesized that the children were accidentally transported to Woolpit from their home planet, which may be trapped in a synchronous orbit around its sun, presenting the conditions for life only in a narrow twilight zone between a fiercely hot surface and a frozen dark side.
Right. So it was permanent twilight because...
Yeah.
They can't physically live on the hot side.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a great hypothesis. However, there is no evidence for that.
It's interesting. At what point does extrapolating from the facts just kind of become outlandish?
I think at that point.
Well, it is a hypothesis, isn't it?
It needs to be tested as a
potential.
Yeah. I mean, all you've got to go on really is her testimony. And the fact that they did look unusual for the time. They seemed out of place.
Yep.
Enough so to make, to put this town on the map, I guess.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is that at that time, you expect that a lot of children would also be malnourished around the area.
Mm.
Yet, surely, it seems pretty clear to me that there weren't a whole load of green children walking around.
Yes.
Good point. They are That's different.
True. They are very different.
It's just a... lecture. There's also the cases of people who have the condition where their skin turns blue. We've covered before on the channel, haven't we? A little while back. But it is a medical condition.
Yeah.
So
So green could just be...
They could like, greeny blue.
Yeah, green, you know? Blue. Yeah, I suppose different people... Like, when someone's looking particularly pale, some people might think, oh, you look sickly green or something.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
to me, it might be like, oh, you just look pale.
Yeah.
Mm. So different people's ideas of colours.
A turquoise. Some people say it's green, some say it's blue.
Yeah, exactly.
They're a shade of turquoise.
Yeah.
That's.
I mean, honestly, I think the colour is important for this story, right?
Green.
I think if they were blue, I don't know if the story would be as well known. They could have just been really cold.
True.
Yeah.
Green's kind of more unusual, isn't it?
Yeah.
Makes you think either lizard people living inside the earth or extraterrestrials, you know. So, I don't know. I mean, there is definitely a rational explanation for it.
Yeah.
But it's so long ago, and the testimony does seem bizarre, and some things can't quite be explained. I don't know. I think this is a mystery still. What do you think?
Well, yeah, far too long ago for us to know ever for sure what it was.
Mm.
Unless we find an underground society of green people.
I mean, that's the thing, though. If she did come from inside the earth, from a cave network, I'm surprised no one else has managed to find that and follow it to the inner earth.
Mm.
But true. If you do want to get into the inner earth and, you know, prove the hollow earth exists, the best place to start is probably Woolput in England. So come on then, what news have we got this week, Martin?
I have a news piece about social media and social media responsibility in particular. So my news headline is, if social media companies want to be a force for good, responsibility must become core to their business. And this is by Sam Gyama,
okay.
Who I think he was previously, former science and innovation minister in the UK here.
Oh, right.
So
oh,
there's okay. a little bit more...
It has some credibility.
Credibility to it, yeah. But he's talking about things like cyberbullying and grooming on platforms, and he specifically references the recent suicide of Molly Russell, a 14-year-old, who saw a lot of self-harm images on Instagram, I think it was.
Yeah.
And so, of course, stuff needs to be done to stop these images going out. But how much responsibility...
Mm.
Does the social media platform and other platforms have? How much responsibility does the users of the platform have?
Yeah.
And how much responsibility does the government have to ensure that these things aren't really out there? And that's pretty much the crux of the article itself. And about, you know, should social media giants have that duty of care to their users?
Mm.
So it's about where that responsibility lies. And without going into loads and loads of detail about the article itself, I just want to have a discussion with you guys about exactly what, you know, where you stand on this and what our thoughts are on social media in general and about kind of the future of it and what can be done to make it safe for people, which I think is something that pretty much everyone agrees on, but without restricting the liberties of individuals using it.
I'm not saying this is necessarily my personal opinion, but this is potentially a way of looking at the situation. Consider farmers who farm livestock like chickens,
okay,
who make eggs that they sell.
I like the start of this.
In our society, and not in all countries, but certainly in our country, there's a sense of duty of care for the chickens. You're not allowed to put them in pens. You're not allowed to do, you know, either free-range chickens is the best thing to do. You feed them well, you treat them well, you keep them healthy, you give them freedom to move within safe confines, you protect them from predators, and you protect them from theft, and you don't slaughter them willy-nilly. Because at the end of the day, they're your product and they're your livelihood. But you have a duty of care under the law. And society expects these chickens to be looked after. And often we find that social media, they make their money by selling the personal data of their users, right?
Yes.
By selling their habits and their shopping desires. So we are the product. So if a farmer has to look after his chickens, then maybe the social media giants should be looking after their product too.
That's a very good point.
I like
it. Good analogy.
I like it. It seems like you've thought about that for a while, actually, Rowan.
I actually just came up with it whilst you were talking.
But
genuinely, yeah.
To extend that further, you say like the farmers, it was quite a relevant example, I think, because actually the free range thing at the moment isn't part of the controversy that actually free range is the like such a minimum requirement. And actually even that means that the chickens are still probably suffering. So to extend that metaphor further, maybe you know, all these social media giants are saying, oh, like, because they're doing all these things now, limiting conspiracy videos, whatever, And maybe that's just, you know, their equivalent of saying, oh yeah, we're going free range, when actually they're still battery hen chickens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True. I think no, I might have taken the example a bit too far.
No, you're right. They may have just redefined what a battery farm is.
Exactly, yeah. But no, it's a really good question, and I'm not even sure what my opinion on it is, because at the end of the day, they're private companies, so really they should be able to do what they want. But I think social media has become something that's beyond any kind of company reach. It's interwoven into our lives.
Yeah.
So many people's livelihoods depend on it. I don't think we could go back to not having it.
No. Yeah, I mean, one point that comes to mind is asking the question, like, do social media companies actually have a moral duty? Mm. Like, do they, like, they're a business.
Mm.
People will look at what they want to look at. Should they be a compass for morality? Yeah. And on the one hand, when you look at the case of this tragic case of Molly Russell, who unfortunately died, it's like, most people would say, yeah, like, a 14-year-old should not have access to that.
Mm.
But then again, it's like, they're a business. Is it actually, should they be the moral compass? Like, where does that reach to?
Because
it takes us back to, no, sorry, interrupting. No, it takes us back to the Tumblr example of them getting rid of porn on the site.
Yeah.
It's like, obviously, self-harm images, most people would agree that they shouldn't be on. They should, like, people should try and prevent people from looking at that. But then it's like, okay, well, now preventing people from watching porn, what's the next step after that?
Yeah,
is it preventing people from watching violent movies
we're very
streaming violent games? Like, where is that line?
I think a fairly Kantian approach would be to allow anything unless it causes harm to others, right?
Yeah.
You know, so self-harming content, obviously, much like terrorist content, allows people to harm themselves or harm others. So yeah, there's an argument for saying companies should crack down on that kind of content.
The greatest good for the greatest number.
That kind of approach. There's an argument for that. But when it comes to violent games, violent movies and porn and stuff, unless you can demonstrably, scientifically prove that stuff is harmful to other people in a physical way, then I don't think it should be banned.
Yeah, and surely some things would be harmful for some and not others. Like,
yeah.
Surely someone who's 10 years old watching like some extreme porn is not good for them. Like, that's fairly, I think most people would pretty much agree that that's probably not a great thing for a 10-year-old to be watching, because it distorts maybe their worldview on certain things.
Yeah.
But for someone who's 16 or 18 or 25, like that, the harm of that becomes less significant. And that's why saying that social media companies have a duty of care, like our friend Sam here says in this article. It's easy to say that, but actually in reality, like, it's much, much more complicated than having a duty of care.
I don't know how they possibly integrate it in a way that's not gonna be seen as some as kind of censorship or restriction of like freedom of expression and that kind of thing. I think yes, they have a moral duty probably, but I just don't think they're equipped to deal with something like that on such a massive scale. I don't think they can, really.
The other very significant thing here is you look at YouTube as a good example of a company that has claimed to have this moral duty, and in a certain sense it does. Like, it understands that removing things like videos of ISIS and that kind of stuff is like, that has to be done. Like, I get it. But a lot of the time, they're actually pandering to the advertisers. So it's a business decision about how people view them as a business and about advertisers getting on board. Yeah. When the advertisers left, when there was adverts next to kind of extreme content, or supposedly extreme content, their primary concern there is about the revenue and how people view their business, as opposed to that moral dilemma, from my point of view.
Who was the guy, who was an American, who said that businesses have a moral duty to make profits?
Yeah,
years ago, I can't remember his name now, but that's their moral duty, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, even all these kind of responses to like the Instagram story with the girl who committed suicide, I the cynic in me says that even their response to it is a business, based on a business decision, like a PR point of view. It makes Instagram look bad. All these negative stories come
out.
So they say, yeah, we're going to take on this responsibility. We're going to remove all these things. Suddenly Instagram's back in the they had a good response to it.
Yeah.
So it's a good business thing from a business point of view.
And this takes us back to the Ford Pinto a few weeks ago. Like,
oh, yeah?
It's weighing up the negative press and how much they lose from that with the actual cost of life doesn't really come in. It seems to not come into it as much. Yeah. Maybe that's a little bit harsh on someone like Instagram. Like, I'm sure if you spoke to every employee at Instagram, they'd go, this is a tragedy. Something needs to be done.
Mm. Yeah.
But when it comes down to that baseline figure, they know that that this is bad, as you say, is bad publicity for them as much as it's a tragedy.
Yeah. Mm. But at the same time, I think it's right. I think anyone embarking on a new entrepreneurial venture has to consider the moral impact of what they're doing. But if someone is like, I'm going to make a new blender that's going to be easy to use, and then some random person sticks their hand in it, you know, beyond putting a warning saying, don't put your hand in my blender, you can't really expect them to, you know, make the blender impossible for someone. Yeah. But you know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
We're going to take the blades out so no one can cut their hands off in the blender. It's like, it's not a blender anymore, is it?
Yeah, it can't do its job.
Well, then there's no social media then doesn't exist as it is. Yeah. Like, it can't exist if there isn't some sort of freedom. Mm.
So if you, both of you, were tasked with solving this problem,
if
the social media companies hired you to solve this problem, how would you go about it?
It's easy to be an armchair analyst, actually. Yeah. I don't know.
It's a very, very, very tough question. I think for starters, you do the things that they already have in place, and you reiterate the fact that the platform's meant for a certain demographic. Yeah. So you can't ban people from posting everything on there. Yeah, you put safeguards in place so that the most extreme stuff that everyone in society, go back to the Kantian point of view, that the majority of people think are inherently bad.
Mm.
So things like self-harm videos, like, that's pretty much inherently bad. You've got to make sure that, so what they're doing, cracking down on that, is good. Like, that is clearly a good thing. Okay. Why they haven't done it before this case is a little bit a little bit worrying, because of course there's the cost implication of having to crack down on that kind of stuff. But I think you have to look at what everyone would see as blanket bad. You'd have to reinforce the policies about who should be using the platform, but other than that, I think that it has to be fairly free rein in order to work.
Mm.
I
mean,
it is a tough question. I mean, I think they in a lot of ways they are doing the right thing, and it's an impossible thing to fix overnight or even within a couple of years. But
it's like the thing with YouTube though, with going back to the whole conspiracies debate. In principle, I'm not totally against it. Like, I get it. I get people are searching for regular things like science lectures and that kind of thing, and in the suggested feed they're coming up like reasons why the earth is flat. I get why they wouldn't want to see that, and I get the rationale for trying to take that out, but the concern is that they'll then take out anything with flat earth, even if it's like debunking flat earth,
that kind of thing.
Well, that's the way the system works, isn't it? It's on keywords and tags and metadata.
So with
this kind of thing, I don't know if they can account for that gray area, you know, or if it would just be a kind of black and white. I don't know if social media giants are kind of equipped with dealing with the gray area that is this kind of extreme content.
Just to play devil's advocate, if they can personalize ads, they can personalize content censorship, right?
Yeah.
You'd think.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still getting wedding dresses advertised to me.
Yes.
And, you know, they've got me spot on. They know what I want. So, thank you for that, Martin. That was really, really stimulating and always a bit overwhelming, that kind of question to answer.
It's not an easy one. And I knew there wasn't going to be an easy answer. So, sorry.
Well, just to kind of lighten the mood, let's look at some of our YouTube comments.
Yes, we love looking through these comments.
We really do. So of course, the big one this week is the name of the podcast, which is now Stories from the Bunker, which lots of people commented on the last video and voted in our poll. Thank you guys for choosing the new name.
It was a slim majority, chose Stories from the Bunker. Or was it a big majority?
It was fair enough. It was a pretty big difference,
Oh, good. Decent. Well, there we go. So, Stories
from
the Bunker. I like the name.
Yeah,
it's a good name.
What the individual comments you've got for us, Alex?
So Ron Davis says, loved this episode. This was in relation to our last podcast. So
thank you.
Thank you very much.
Very nice.
Roby1 McKenobi, which is just a wonderful name, says, wait a sec, are those guys twins? I don't know. I'm guessing maybe me and Martin he's talking about. But no, we're not twins. None of us are twins.
You could just lie and say yes.
Yes. We are.
I mean, you've got facial hair.
Yeah, I think that's a running theme.
That's where it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, we're not twins. Artak 091 says, "Go fund me for the all-time conspiracy lads to vacation to the Bermuda Triangle to report back. Let's make it happen."
I would love that.
That would please
be great.
Do.
Also, yeah. Bermuda is apparently stunning. So if we don't die, we'll have a great time.
Yeah.
I would like to charter a plane just to take the three of us over the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're up for
we'll
that.
Do loads of research. And yeah.
I mean, we have a Patreon. I mean, we could add it as one of our stretch goals, maybe. But
I suppose we could. Although, genuinely, I would love it if we get to the point where we can actually go there and investigate it for ourselves.
It'd be awesome.
Can you do a live stream from a plane?
Sure.
Yeah, we can set that up. I'm sure.
I'm sure we could.
The world's first live stream snuff movie.
Oh my god.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. Suddenly took a dark turn.
Yep. There's a UFO over there. Oh, we're crashing.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're crashing.
Yep. Injustice Fellow says, "As someone who lives close to the Bermuda Triangle, I can neither confirm nor deny that Queen Elizabeth and her lizard army live in my backyard."
I'm not sure he's being genuine there.
I'm sure he's being absolutely genuine.
Do you think people would do that? Go on the internet and lie?
People... do not lie on the internet.
No.
Okay.
No, I don't. No. I mean, I've got something. It's not a YouTube comment, but it's actually a message sent to us, an email to our email account from one of our listeners and watchers. I think it's Geo Landy. Geo, as in geography.
Okay.
Or George. Who commented in response to our discussion last week about the celibacy in the clergy.
We were asking about what
the rules are and things like that. And in particular, we asked, is there anything in the Bible that says you should be celibate? And broadly speaking, the answer is no. But Gio sent us some passages and quotations which are relevant to this. And so thank you, Gio. I'd just like to talk about them a bit. And we can expand upon what we talked about last week.
Decent.
Which was, firstly, Gio quoted Pope Paul VI, who in 1967 wrote an encyclical about priestly celibacy. It has a Latin name, but I won't attempt to butcher it. And obviously he endorsed celibacy as a requirement for the clergy, but says in this document, "The New Testament preserves the teaching of Christ and the apostles, does not openly demand celibacy of sacred ministers. Jesus himself did not make it a prerequisite in his choice of the 12, as in the disciples, nor did the apostles for those who presided over the first Christian communities."
Hmm.
So very good point. The Bible, in particular the New Testament, does not make it a necessity for priests to be celibate. And then there are some passages in particular from Paul's letters to the Corinthians and to Timothy. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:5, "Do we not have the right to marry a believing woman like the rest of the apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas?" Cephas is Peter. And to Timothy he says, "It behoveth, therefore, a bishop to be the husband of one wife," as in...
Okay.
Actually putting a limit on the number of people we can marry. Interesting there. So what Paul is complaining there about is that people are marrying too many women and bishops should only have one wife. But of course, it means they can be married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, as this applies to modern Catholicism, broadly speaking, priests have to be celibate. But celibate technically just means not married.
But the implication of that is that if you're not married, you're not having sex anyway.
Yeah. Since the Bible and the Catholic Church teach that you shouldn't have sex outside marriage, celibacy in effect means you're not having sex. However, there are exceptions to the rule. Priests cannot marry.
Yeah.
But you can already be married and become a priest.
Right.
Oh, that's a way around it, isn't it?
Loophole.
Yeah, I mean, quite some forethought required there.
Can you quit, get married, and then become a priest again?
You might seem slightly disingenuous.
I think once a priest, always a priest, right? That's the way that works. I think possibly where this all stems from, though, is twofold. There's the theological reason, and then there's the historical reason. And the theological one comes from Paul in his letters in the Bible, to the Corinthians in particular, where he says in Corinthians 7:7-8, "I wish that all men were as I am myself. Each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that manner. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain as I am," which is unmarried. Mm-hmm. So Paul was a big fan, and he is the first pope. He's a big fan of not being married.
So he basically ruined it for all the others.
Yeah, I mean, given his views on homosexuality as well, he's got a lot of views that aren't popular today.
Yeah. I think, isn't it almost, in a lot of cases, it's kind of, I don't know where or whatever, but it says like that you should devote your life to God, but if you have to, then marry someone. Isn't it? So it's like God first. Then if you feel like you need to, then you should marry someone.
Yes,
so they're almost going for the first bit of God first.
Yeah,
because that's primary. But yeah,
it's wonderful. You've set up my next quotation from Paul.
Okay.
In the same letter to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 7:32-35, Paul says, "I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord." Basically, if you're not married, all you care about is God and your relationship with God. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, namely how he may please his wife, or how a wife may please her husband. This is the gist of what he says.
Yeah.
So he's making quite a good point. He's not saying marriage is a bad thing. He's just saying that if you're married, you're kind of distracted by keeping your partner happy, and you can't become a devoted servant of God. So I get where he's coming from.
Yeah.
And that's the theological reasoning. But then there's also the historical reasoning, which is, to their credit, the early Catholic Church, Christian church, sorry, tried to accommodate married priests and celibacy, but and indulging marriage. So saying, yeah, you can be married, but be celibate. You know, don't have sex or whatever. And it wasn't working.
I expect it wasn't.
Yeah. So after a few centuries, so I think it was in the 4th century, they had some councils and they decreed that priests can't marry because they just couldn't trust them to not have sex with their spouses.
Right. Yes.
So it was a kind of like practical solution to like, we want you to devote yourself to God. We want you to not have sex, but to do that realistically, you've got to not be married, guys.
Yeah. To be fair, I think it seems a bit harsh to say that someone can be married but not have sex. It's a little bit.
In a way, yeah, it's kind of putting temptation in front of them.
Yeah.
And it's unfair on
their partner as well. Yeah.
I mean, isn't the point that they're distracted because they're spending too much time with their partner, kind of thing?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why the distinction with sex is like so important there. Like, you can be married and spend time with her and be distracted in other ways.
Yeah.
But you can't have sex. Yeah, that's too much of a distraction.
You have to be quick and then be back to God. Yeah.
Well, again, I imagine it's rooted.
You got 2 minutes.
2 minutes of distraction, and then you're back in the room.
Yeah. it's probably rooted in the quagmire of different influences on the early church, because obviously, the church grew in the Middle East with all its traditions, and then spread to Europe in the West with all its cultural traditions, and they tried to marry it all, so to speak, together in this one unified, hence the word Catholic, church. And so to do that, they incorporated everybody's traditions, which involved saying, okay, we've got to compromise, guys. We don't like having sex, but we appreciate that you like being married. So let's do the two together. And it's like, not working. A couple of centuries later, not working, guys.
Took a couple of centuries to realize that was the case.
So thank you, Gio, for those quotations. That were really useful. I think it's time for a quiz.
Okay, guys, welcome to the weekly quiz. As always, 10 questions plus a bonus question if we are, if you're drawing by the end of the quiz. This week, as I mentioned earlier, it's just all about the news. All about the news this week. God. So I hope you've been paying attention.
No, really haven't. So
it's two of us. So it's a no-no board draw.
And if you're watching this at home or listening, feel free to play along. See how many you get and write in the comments, how well you did.
I'm sure you'll win. Yeah,
tell us your story.
Don't lie. Don't lie. If you've lost, you've lost, okay?
Yeah, don't lie.
Bloody hell.
What's the fun of
some people.
Yeah. None of you are allowed to get higher than us.
Okay, let's question one.
We took that slightly too far.
Actually, no, let's hear your buzzers.
Oh, buzzers. Oh, yeah. What have you gone for? Yours is always the same.
Mine's the same, yeah.
Nice. Martin?
Wilhelm scream.
And boom goes the dynamite.
So question one.
Ooh.
Why was a courtroom in Oklahoma evacuated this week?
And boom goes the dynamite.
Martin.
I do not know.
Okay.
But I'm going to guess that someone farted. It stank the place out.
No, but
a stink bomb,
but it is something that someone did.
Clues now.
Sorry, okay.
It's okay.
No, go on. Do you know it, Robin?
I don't know.
It's something someone did. Okay,
that's the
clue.
That's the extent of it.
Well, actually, that's a bit misleading.
Oh.
It is something gross, like a fart. but it's not that, and it's kind of really weird.
Okay,
it's a bit weird.
Had someone thrown up in the corner?
No one threw up in the corner. It involves okay, I'll say it involves creepy crawlies.
Oh.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Someone had head lice and it was spreading around. Or nits.
That is so close.
Okay. But it's not quite.
It's not quite. I don't know if it's enough to give it to you. I don't think it is.
Okay.
Oh really?
I'll give you one more guess, Robin, and if not, I'm gonna give it to Martin as the closest.
Well, if it's not head lice and it's someone being infected with something, I don't know what it could be like. Someone had cockroaches in their clothing or something. I don't know.
Is that your guess?
Yes.
I don't think I can give it to either of you because it's kind of a mix between the two.
Okay.
So the lawyer was crawling with bed bugs just on his clothes, and when he took his jacket off, they went everywhere.
Oh my god! Oh,
that's how horrendous. Gross is that? Like, how do you not realize you're being like bitten?
That is
by
pretty bad.
Hundreds of bed bugs. So everyone, they had to clear out because they were going.
What
everywhere.
Did I say?
What is his house?
Did I say lice?
Said lice. Yeah, it's pretty close. Yeah,
it's pretty. Bed bug. Bed bugs.
I think
actually,
you
deserve
that.
No. It wasn't lice. Incorrect.
Bed bugs. Okay, they're called bed bugs because they live in your bed. If your house is so bad that the bed bugs are in your clothes, your suit that you're wearing to the courtroom.
That's not good, is it?
Actually,
I wouldn't trust that lawyer unless, you know, that was his defense the whole time.
If they're not in the courtroom, they can't convict you.
That's not a great look for a lawyer either, is it?
Yeah, crawling with bedbugs.
Oh, that's horrendous.
Okay, so nil-nil. I'm not giving a point there.
Fine.
Question two. Katy Perry faced controversy this week with her shoe range. Can you tell me why?
Oh. And boom goes the dynamite.
Martin.
The shoes resembled blackface.
They were
seen as being racist.
Yeah.
I've got to say I understand why they were taken down. Like people don't want shoes that reflect that. But people calling her racist, I think, was a little bit far.
Yeah.
Because from my point of view, racism has to be about intent and people's intent.
Exactly.
And her intent was not to cause offense.
Yeah.
So therefore it wasn't racist. It was misjudged, but not racist.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think it was right to take down the shoes, not because of racism or anything, just because they looked terrible.
They were awful.
And she would wear them.
I mean, one of her defense, which was a bit stupid, was saying, oh no, they're also available in gold, silver, pink, orange, different colors. It's like, black was only one of the colors. It's like, that doesn't really matter. Just, they're horrible. We're taking them down.
But that's 1-0 to you, Martin.
Boom. Goes the dynamite.
Now, I know that both of you might know this one, so it might be fingers and muscles. I don't know how much attention you've been giving it.
I genuinely don't know anything, so.
I don't know anything.
So last week, a hit new game dropped, seemingly out of nowhere, in the form of... Go on, Robin.
Apex Legends?
That's not the answer.
Damn it!
I'm going to mention it now. In the form of Apex Legends.
Oh.
But can you tell me how many unique... I'm going to... If Martin knows this, I'm going to have to take his answer first, because you have
already had a guess. That's fine.
Can you tell me how many unique players have supposedly played the game after just 1 week?
And boom goes the dynamite.
Martin.
I know a figure being banded around. Oh, but was that the first day? I know there's a figure of 2 million was banded around. And maybe that was the first day. I think it might be higher. I'll go for 2 million.
Robin?
I was going to go... It was 1 million after the first day, so I was going to go for 3 million after a week.
I'm not going to... No, I'll give you the point because you're closest, but it's 25 million.
Headlice doesn't get it, but 25 million off 3 million does. That's insanity.
Hey, Alex won that thing the other week by guessing.
It wasn't even a closest. It wasn't even a closest win.
This was kind of
closest.
I'm being discriminated. 25 million people.
So to answer your question.
2 million doesn't get it. 3 million does when the answer's 35 million. And I said headlice instead of bed bugs. And that's not a point. At home, if you're listening.
I mean, I don't.
Is this
that.
Slightly unfair?
I don't deserve that.
Okay, fine. Look, no, I'm not going back on my judgment. Robin gets the point.
It's because you want to keep it close.
I'll start taking the points away at this point. So, In fairness, I think the figure you're thinking of is they had 2 million concurrent players, like all at once playing it, whereas 25 unique players, 25 million.
So mine was right in some instance.
25.
It wasn't the right answer.
It was right. It was right in some way. There was some kind of basis of it being right. Whereas 3 million isn't right for any question asked by Apex Legends.
I explained my reasoning. It was a logical guess. Okay, no, I don't deserve that, but I'll take the point.
Karen, it's one all fine.
It really isn't. But.
Okay. It's a great
fuming.
It's a great game, though. Really,
it's good. We played it online. Not anymore.
Played it so much more. Than I really want to get back into it. I haven't played it the once.
We all played it together, didn't we? One time
we did. Yeah,
yeah. That was good.
I just haven't had a chance since then. But I need to get back on. Yeah.
Okay. Question 4. It's one all. Elon Musk revealed this week on Twitter how much it would cost to move to Mars using his SpaceX's Starship. Can you tell me the figure that he gave for how much it would cost? And boom goes the
dynamite. Probably $3 million. Is that right? Is it closest?
It's closest wins, but no, it's not $3
million. I know it's going to be $3 million.
As in,
closest wins.
It's closest wins, and you just.
That's ridiculous.
Well done. You've just had
this. How it would cost if you're a passenger, cost, rather than like commercial use. Is that,
that wasn't the question.
For a passenger,
that wasn't the question.
Ticket.
You have to go by the question. That's become apparent.
Am I going to say $900,000?
So
it's going to be closer, isn't it? Actually, no, $3 million. Yeah, no, I'll stick with my answer.
You're going to stick with your answer?
Is it? Actually,
it's $500,000, so Robin gets the point.
Ooh. I wouldn't have guessed anywhere near that.
Yeah, and nice. He said 500,000 and possibly one day under 100,000. So
under 100,000 for a trip to Mars?
I mean, to be honest, if I'll believe it when he actually sends something to Mars, you know.
Yeah.
It's easy to just say that on Twitter.
He's already been there.
What was the company who were doing the one-way trips to Mars?
Mars One.
That's gone bankrupt, hasn't it?
It was bankrupted last week.
That's not in the quiz, is it?
It's not.
If it is, then I get the point,
that's
right?
That's really weird, because I was literally just thinking about them yesterday and thinking, whatever happened to them?
Yeah.
And they went bankrupt last week?
Yeah.
That's weird.
I mean, we saw it coming.
Yeah.
Somebody made a tidy penny, though.
Okay. Mm. Okay. So it's 2-1 to Robin.
Is it? Oh, okay.
You got the Apex Legends question.
Very good.
Question 5. The BAFTAs happened last week, right?
Yeah.
They did, yeah.
This
week.
This week, Monday.
Sunday night, wasn't it?
Sunday night?
Sunday or Monday, yeah.
So can you tell me which film won the award for best film? Robin. Robin, straight in there.
I actually think I'm wrong now.
Go on.
I'm worried I got it wrong. Was it Black Panther?
No.
It was Roma. It was Roma.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Roma directed by who?
Is that the question?
No.
I don't know. I can't remember.
Alfonso Cuarón. How do you pronounce his name?
Cuarón.
Cuarón. Yeah.
Cuarón.
It won loads of awards, Cuarón. Didn't it? It did really well.
Roma did quite well.
It won three?
It won the best awards. It won best director and best film.
Yeah, well, he's an awards darling, isn't he?
And obviously the favourite one, I think, swept up the most awards.
Yeah, 7 or something? Well, a lot.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, so that's 2 each now? 2 all?
I think so.
I think so.
It's 2-1, let's be honest.
No, it's 2 all, Robin. Question 6. Maroon 5's Super Bowl halftime performance was widely criticized this year. However, can you tell me why it made a video jump 566% in views on YouTube? Martin was just in there.
I don't actually know the answer, but I'm going to say the video on YouTube used the music from Maroon 5.
No, that's not correct. Okay. That's not the right answer.
The correct answer is no, I can't.
All right, fine. Pedantic. That, I'm taking away your point.
could it have... Would it have been a Maroon 5 music video? Yeah.
You must have named...
Was there... Have like, you... Named them. You guys, like...
I haven't
watched it was something that featured in the halftime show very briefly.
I fell asleep.
People were... It wasn't great. But it was... It was widely talked about and rumored that it would happen this year, and then it didn't happen. Or it happened very briefly.
A touchdown, or
no? During the halftime show.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was SpongeBob's Super Bowl halftime "Sweet Victory" song. Remember, SpongeBob?
I know SpongeBob.
Yeah. It was because I think the creator of SpongeBob.
Oh, he died, didn't he?
Steven Hillenburg.
Is that right? That sounds about right.
He passed away last year. Yeah. And I think loads of people really wanted this episode, which was kind of where they perform at the halftime show, the song in it to feature in this halftime show. And then the start of it did, for like 5 seconds of it did, and then they didn't put the rest of it in.
The cut.
Yeah. Huh. So people were kind of annoyed about that.
Okay. Yeah, that's a shame.
But yeah, it got lots of attention on YouTube after.
Yeah, imagine.
Okay. So still 2-2. Question 7. How many times did Donald Trump use the word great in his State of the Union address?
Ooh.
Is this another closest wins? Or?
I'm going to say closest wins. We need to start getting some more points.
Okay.
Robin.
27.
Okay.
I'll say a few less. I'm going to say...
And boom goes the dynamite.
19.
Martin is closest. It is 15.
15.
Only 15 times,
actually.
That is
fewer than I would have thought.
It is fewer than like I would have thought as well.
I remember when he was in... which state was he in? He was in one of the southern states, and he was saying that they have great coal. Great, great coal. And he kept on saying they have great coal. Very clean coal.
Very clean coal.
Like, what clean coal? It doesn't even make any sense. But, but yeah, so he was saying great coal quite a lot there.
Yeah.
Well, how many times he mentioned coal in the State of the Union address?
I feel like
probably none.
The thing is, he says great and like a... He repeats his vocabulary when he's just kind of riffing when he's going off script. Yeah. So he'll say great like 10 times in a sentence when he's... going off script, but with State of the Union, I guess he's following a script.
True.
So bearing that in mind, it's still kind of amazing that he said it 15 times.
Yeah, it's true. Because like you can easily
normally
repeat.
He would say great
this something. great state this great state this great humble state with great people
and
great law enforcement and great mayors. Great.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway,
question 8. I think it's 3-2. Was that right? Or was it 3-2 beforehand and now it's 4-2?
No, it's 2-all, I think. Now it's 3-2.
Yeah, 3-2. Okay. So question 8. Drug kingpin El Chapo was found guilty in his trials 2 days ago when this went out. And he's notorious from escaping jail. But can you tell me, unrelated to that fact, what his estimated net worth was?
Wow. This is almost...
I'm going to say closest wins. He was on Forbes' rich list at one point.
Yeah. I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I'm going to say 60 million.
60 million?
Oh, I'm going for more than that.
Yeah, probably too low.
I'm going to go for 120 million.
120 million.
It's probably more.
Well, you're both vastly underestimating.
Yeah,
it's
way more.
But
I was going for the points.
But, so. But technically, Martin is correct.
He was
closest. It's $1 billion.
$1 billion.
$1 billion.
It is $1 billion. I assumed it. Wow,
nice round number.
Being incarcerated, but I guess not.
I mean, I think this was like at his height. Yeah. I said that in the question, right?
No, you didn't. But never mind. I guess he probably doesn't own the kind of assets that you can freeze.
probably not.
Yeah, true.
That's crazy.
So 4-2. Question 9. Why was a state of emergency declared in a town in Russia this week?
Ooh.
Can I ask for a clue that will help us both?
Mm.
If Robin will allow it.
Of course, yeah, I need a clue.
Is it something stereotypical about Russia?
I don't think so, no.
Okay, I'm not going to say that because that will make me appear racist or xenophobic.
Could you give us a clue?
I'll say that the town was invaded.
Oh.
I was literally going to say that.
Was the town...
And boom goes the dynamite.
Martin.
Was the town invaded by wolves?
No.
Invaded by bears.
Yeah, I'll give it to you. They were invaded by 50 polar bears.
Wow.
50?
Yeah.
Wow.
That is a bloody nightmare.
That does sound quite nightmarish.
Wow. It's got so desperate, the polar bears are banding together.
Yeah.
There's That's pretty crazy.
An army of polar bears.
Why? Is there any reason why? Do we know why that happened?
I don't know. No.
That'd be interesting. I might look into that.
Yeah.
Because there must be a reason why they decided to go into that particular town.
Yeah.
For food? Were they?
I'm guessing food.
I've never seen more than two or three, you know, in the photo.
Yeah. Polar bears are kind of 50. Hang about on their own, don't they, generally?
Yeah, they're solitary creatures.
Yeah. Why were they all there?
I mean, it definitely... Yeah, they're probably in trouble, aren't they?
The ice caps. That's incredible. I mean, I like the idea of a kind of polar bear colony forming a new civilization.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's a town.
Nobody goes there. That is where polar bear lives.
But were they... I mean, I imagine they weren't dealt with that.
Did they kill them?
Friendly.
I don't really know what happened.
No, just a headline.
I'll need to look into it, I'm afraid. But yeah, but
looking forward to the pictures of Vladimir Putin riding the polar bears while topless.
Probably, yeah. Okay, so 4-3 as we go into question 10.
It is quite close. To play for.
It is.
The World Health Organization is saying now that anti-vaxxers are becoming a growing issue in the world today.
Yes. Sure.
And could pose a significant risk if they keep growing in number. Mm. Can you tell me, in a percentage, how many more cases of the measles there were this year compared to the previous year?
I mean, this is probably wrong, but I want to say 58%.
58% increase?
Yeah.
No.
More than that, probably.
Well, okay. Yeah.
I was going to say just around 100%. Double.
This is also kind of a closest wins question, I guess.
Double.
Are you saying 100%?
I'm going to say 100%. Double.
It was 300%.
What?
300% increase on the previous year.
I thought it would double, but
I knew 300%. It increased a lot. That's mad. Crazy.
In the US. Yeah.
I think this is globally across the world, because I think it's
worrying.
Anti-vaxxers were part of the reason, but also it's people not having access to vaccines just in parts of the world where they don't have access and that kind of thing. So I think it was on a globally.
But globally, access to vaccines is decreasing as the countries where the vaccines are made and provided are swinging more and more towards this anti-vax position. It's obviously a lot of vaccines in the developing world taken over by charity workers from the developed world. And like even on a local level, I know people who go to India every year. They volunteer, go over there, vaccinate, come back. They don't work for anybody. They just do it.
Mm. Fair enough.
If people like that are decreasing, then it's going to affect people's access to vaccines in the developing world.
That's very true.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bit of a sad one to end on, actually.
Yeah, thanks, Alex.
So do you want to do the bonus question?
Yeah, just
one. So it was 5-3 to Martin.
Yeah, 5-3 to Martin. Martin, Martin is the victor.
The first one I won in a little while, actually.
But Robin, you can gain some dignity back.
Not really.
Now, I'm only going to allow one guess for this question. And it's not closest wins. To get it right, you've got to get it on the nose.
Okay.
From the day of recording today, which is the 13th, right? Yeah, 13th.
Yeah. Valentine's Day tomorrow, from where we're sitting now.
Yeah, yeah.
How many days is it until Britain leaves the EU? Unless it gets, canned or something. Robin.
Depends how you measure it. But I would say...
That is correct.
Well done.
Except it's going to get extended. So
yes.
Well, there we go. That's the quiz.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for that quiz, Alex. I'm sorry I embarrassed myself yet again. It's not been a good year for me. Martin's the victor after Alex has trounced us both.
Yeah.
Repeatedly.
Very true.
God, what can I say?
Oh, the man is knowledge. That's what he is.
Useless current affairs knowledge, but yeah.
Thank you for listening, as always, and thank you for your support to all our Patreon supporters. You can find this podcast on Spotify and Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts, as well as on YouTube. Please go check them out, and if you are listening to us on Apple or Google, then please consider rating us. It really does help to have listeners rate us and give us their feedback.
Indeed.
And we'll see you next time.
Yes. Yeah. See you next time.
See you next time, guys.